success looks so easy from the outside, but all successful people have had to overcome enormous obstacles along the way, and in many cases, look failure right in the eye. Most successful people don't focus on the struggle, and they rarely talk about it because that's not what creates success. Join us here, where we'll chat with serial entrepreneurs, both men and women, and share the good, the bad, and the ugly of entrepreneurship. We'll talk about the obstacles we faced and how to overcome them to reach the success that you desire. I am your host, Cami Lehman, and this is She's Invincible. Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining us today on She's Invincible. And do we have an invincible one to introduce you to today? Donna Cravatta is the CEO and founder of Cravatta Media Group and the creator of the Be Visible Club Mastermind and the Real 50 Over 50, the Wisdom Revolution, a visibility project featuring 100 women who are quietly or not so quietly making a difference. After 40 years of working, she redesigned her business to help authors, speakers, and small business owners pull together all of their parts of their stories and mix tried and true strategies with new technology to be visible and connect with their perfect audience. OMG, Donna Cravatta, welcome to She's Invincible. I'm so excited to have you here today.
Oh, I am excited to be here, and you will forever be our 100th member.
Yes, I love that. What an honor. That was so fun to promote that on International Women's Day and to be able to just celebrate with all of you and your community and my community. So again, thank you a million times over. And what a joy to have you here. As you're making such an impact for women in the world, it's just an honor to just have you here to tell your story and share your greatness today. So let's jump in. Let's get started. Let's tell our listeners, how in the world did you get where you are today? And what makes you invincible?
Well, I started in Brooklyn, New York. That's where I grew up. I was born and raised. And it was not trendy Brooklyn. It's old school Brooklyn. And I started working when I was 16 because I was raised by a single mom and four kids. There was no money. There was no nothing. So I went to work and I helped support the family. And I started working at 16, and one job led to another, led to another. So I literally went on one job interview in my life. And every other job just kind of happened after that. And I found my way working in law firms. I started working in law firms when I was 19. And I started working at the 5 to midnight shift in the word processing department in a big, multi-global law firm. And it was really interesting. I mean, our clients were Imelda Marcos and, Dorothy Rogers of Rogers and Hammerstein fame. And I did whatever I had to do. But what I really did was I learned how to fix the machines. So I was in demand and I was working lots of hours. I was making lots of money. And, again, one job led to another. And I found myself working in law firms for like 25 years and going the gamut from, all of these different jobs on the admin side of firms. And I moved from one firm to another. The last firm I was at for 17 years. And when I exited, I had a really good job, and it was a job that was created for me. So I worked my way through law firms for 25, maybe more years. And when I exited, I had a very good job, and it was a job that was created for me. But I also had a 4-year-old at home, and my part-time working hours were 50 or 60 hours a week. And he was getting ready to start school, and I knew I'd never see him. Mm. So I started a virtual assistants business in 2006 when nobody knew what a virtual assistant was. And I left a very secure job to do that as a single parent. And maybe not the typical thing to do, but it was the right thing to do. And I am so thankful every day, because without having to make that change for my son, I never would have made it. I'd still be in that job that I hated.
Oh, that's something. So you've been doing that ever since?
Well, no, I was a virtual assistant for a very short period of time. That was 2006. Around 2009, I got into social media and I fell in love. And, you know, then one thing led to another. You know, I was building a business based on what clients needed because it was the Wild West. You know, there was no training there. You know, there was nothing. I took a course in 2010 or 2009. It was Social Media Magic University. So I've got a degree.
I love it.
But, you know, you just learned what you needed to learn along the way. So and then what I started to do was like pull in all of the experiences that I had from working in the law firm, because I did so many things. And I didn't realize what I was learning and what I was doing along the way because it was just work. And when I started to kind of put things together in a logical way and it was beneficial to clients, what I realized that I had was something that nobody was really doing around 2010, which was mixing content development, SEO, PR, social media, and combining all of these things together into one thing. And nobody was doing it back then. And it took a long time for like smaller businesses to kind of pick up on that. So I was working with clients that were getting incredible results because nobody else was doing it.
And they were visible, right? They were the most visible of all the clients, right?
Yeah. And intentionally visible, not just randomly visible. And I'm still doing the same thing. So it's basically been like almost, you know, 15 years that I've been doing this. And you know, over the course of having my business, I've worked with big clients, corporate clients, smaller clients. I've done consulting. I've done teaching. I've done speaking. I've done all of these things. And about 2 years ago, I found myself like having an agency I didn't want, working with big clients that were sucking the life out of me again. And I just stopped. And I was at a point where I had two clients I was offboarding and three that I was bringing on. And I didn't want to do any of the work. And I said, I'm just not going to do any of this. And I'm just going to stop. And what I did was I went over 40 years of working and figured out, like, what do I like to do? What do I not like to do? What do I want to do? Where can I get help? What would I want even under the umbrella of my business or not? And I spent some time going through that. And then going through that process, I realized that's what I take clients through, but I never took myself through it. And I never really showcased that part of what the work that I do, because it was always about, you know, being visible, getting the opportunities, you know, landing PR, writing the content. It was always about the tactical part of the work, but I never really focused on that. It's more of an emotional side of the work, being an actual thing. And I revamped it, and I revamped a course that I created in 2010 that was called the Total Social PR System. And now it is called It's Be Visible Club. And I would say 60 to 70% of what I created in 2010 was still using, because it's based on the things that don't change.
Amazing. And how exciting that must have been when social media was so new. And here you were, like everything was new, right? How exciting to be learning all of this stuff and going in different directions as it evolved. And then look where it is today. Like, it's funny to think, like, there was a time in our lives where there weren't even computers, right? Mm-hmm. And like, our kids are never going to be able to say that. But there was that time. And then there's this time where you can't do anything without everybody knowing about it, right? And sometimes that's bad, but it's mostly good when you're in business and you're trying to be visible. So I love that you're doing this. Amazing.
I've always done this because, like, if I go back to the law firm days, like, I was there fixing daisy printers at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know?
I didn't even know they had a 5 to midnight shift.
It was called the lobster shift.
Oh my goodness.
But, you know, I learned how to fix these computers because, you know, they would call in people to fix these computers in the middle of the night. And it was like they couldn't get anybody. It was expensive. The work wasn't getting done. But because I knew how to fix them and I knew how to do the work, and I was ribboning wills, I was doing it all. I did everything. And but I learned so much and I became valuable in a different way than other employees were valuable. And I've brought that through to my business because it's like there's no silos. You have to connect the parts. And that's what I've always done. I was kind of at the forefront of when things were new and they were happening. And I would like create different ways to use them. And then I would connect all the parts. And it's
amazing.
You know, I did that 40 years ago and I'm doing that now.
I love it. I love it. And the technology is insane, right? So,
and now I'm doing it with AI.
Yes. That's just new too over the last couple of years. You know, that's become a big thing. So I think that's just amazing. That's definitely something too we'll touch on today as we talk about our topic. But tell us what makes you invincible.
I'm scrappy. I always find a way. I would say the most recent thing that is making me feel invincible is my son, because now he's a senior in college. He's going to graduate in December. And I was talking with other parents where we raised our kids together, and they were talking about, you know, the different fields that their kids are going into and what they've studied and what their majors were in. And they were all like these like high level things. And my son is studying digital media production. He's a musician and it's different. And he took his own path. And as I was listening to them, I was like, oh, how am I going to respond to this? Because I have a different answer. It doesn't fit. And what I realized is that he's always going to be happy. He's always going to do something that makes him happy. And that's the goal, right?
Isn't that the goal? Yes, that is the goal.
And that made me feel invincible because I was like, I gave this to my son at the age of 21 and he's not going to have to go through this whole trajectory of so many things that we've all gone through to find that, you know, elusive happiness. And he does. And that again, harkens back to, I left the safe, secure job that I could have had for the rest of my life and maybe even after I was dead. noticed.
Isn't that the truth? Like the weekend at Bernie's, right? They just leave you at your desk.
There's a couple of people that may have been dead. I'm not sure. But I left all of that for him and it was worth it. And, you know, we both had lessons along the way, but I would say that the thing that was the most valuable of everything was he saw me do this every single day. I was here when he left for school in the morning. I was here when he came back and I was working, you know, and we fought over internet and we fought over him
machine.
Like going in the kitchen while I was working and don't flush the toilet.
Oh my gosh. It sounds like my life. I'm recording. Be quiet. No slamming doors and stomping up steps, right? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I had a whole list of like messages to tape on the door before we got home. but it created who he is now, that at the age of 21, he's built like the systems and the processes in his own life to support his happiness.
Yes. You gave him a generational gift that he can continue going on, you know, giving. As a legacy, because you were brave and bold and courageous, and he watched you do it. And he watched you find joy in the journey. And he watched you shift when you weren't having joy in the journey. And he saw you work hard. You were a very good example for him. And that will continue even when you're not here anymore. And I think that's amazing.
And there was a money piece to this as well, too, because as you know, there's ups and downs with money when you have your own business. And about a couple of years ago, we were having a money dry spell and I was saying like, we could do this, but we can't do that. And, you know, I was always very honest with him and he just looked at me and he goes, I never worry about money. And I said, why is that? He goes, cause I remember I was in like the third or the fourth grade and I went to school in the morning and you told me we had no money. And I came home and you told me you made $30,000.
Let's just keep doing that, Mom.
And he goes, if you could do that once, you could do it again.
Oh my gosh, what a life, right? Oh boy, that's amazing. All right, well, with all of that being said, let's jump into our topic, which is all around what we've just been talking about, which is building a community, a mission. And how do you get it out there? How are you working with your clients in Be Visible? And we're going to talk about all the things. So let's get started. Let's talk about the early days when you were doing your work and you decided that you were going to build this community. So what would you say today, right? Because that was years ago and things are a little different now. What would you say today would be the steps to follow if someone woke up this morning and said, I'm going to build a community?
The steps aren't really that different because, like I said earlier, like what I have now, my Be Visible community, is really based on something that I built in 2010. Mm. And, the very first thing that you need to do is listen. And that is the most underutilized marketing skill that there is.
What do they say? We have two ears and one mouth, and there's a reason for that.
Shut up. I used to have a webinar called Shut Up and Listen. But if you listen first and figure out who is your audience, what do they need? How can you help them? Not that you should create something, just because they need it, but, it's got to be in alignment with what you do and what you want to do and where your expertise is. But so often, because we work alone and, that work could be happening at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, we don't really have anybody to bounce this off of. So, yet another reason why it's important to have a community and a community of people that work and live the same life that you're living, because I can't go back to my law firm friends and tell them, the ups and the downs of what I'm living, because they don't get it. It's like they're living on another planet. And, when you understand who your client is, what you do for them, how you can benefit them, how you can display to them the things that they aren't even thinking about, then they feel understood and they feel cared for and they feel confident that they're not doing this alone. And, what I help my clients do is not beat people over the head with Facebook ads, but to really build that into the fabric of everything that they put out into the world. So is it your content? Is it your website? Is it your interviews? Wherever it is, so they can start building relationships with your content. So by the time they get to meet you, they're halfway there. They feel like they know you, and it changes the sales process because there is no sales process. It's like, I need this anyway. Why would I even consider working with anybody else? And then it also leads to referrals. So I'll use the 50 over 50 as an example. We are now 102 women, and I've got at least 25 invitations out there now, because what happens is, it started with all people that I know personally, and they started introducing me to people that they know. And other than 2 or 3 people, that's what those 102 people are. All people that I know or introductions, and that's how my business grows too, because I know what I need. I don't need hundreds and thousands of clients. I don't need to be in front of hundreds and thousands of people. I need to be in front of the right people.
I love that. So tell us about, where's the best place? So once you define that, where's the best place to find those people?
It depends. It depends on, that's part of the listening. You figure out where they are, and that's where you show up. I mean, if they're on LinkedIn, but you love TikTok and they're not on TikTok, you're wasting your time on TikTok.
Right?
Over to LinkedIn.
Say that a little louder. Yeah, right. I know. And people say, I hate LinkedIn. It's like, okay, stay broke, right? Like, you're not going to find your people. They're not where you love to be.
One of the things with marketing is it's different for everyone. There is no one solution that's going to work for everyone. And that's why I feel so strongly that people need to understand how it all works, how the pieces fit together. You don't need to understand every bit of minutia about marketing, but you really need to understand the way the pieces fit together and, you know, what success actually looks like, because, and what it looks like for you, because, and that's based on what you need. And I think people get convoluted in that area because they see other people doing things that are successful and they want that, but they're not realizing all of the work that might go into like one of these big affiliate launches. And it's not really what they need. I had a client come to me about a month ago and she's telling me all these things that she has. And she's like a coach and an artist and she's writing a book and she does, you know, several different things. And she tells me she's got 4 Instagram accounts. And I was like, why do you have 4 Instagram accounts? You're one person. And she goes, that is the most logical thing anybody has ever said to me about marketing my business.
Oh my gosh.
So I said, you need one. She goes, which one should I keep? I said, which one do you like? It doesn't matter. Which one is the people following you that like you would actually want to be connected to? And like, she had no followers. She had like 100 followers on each account. And I was like, then it doesn't even matter. I said, just pick the one that has the pretty pictures. It doesn't matter.
Well, I love what you're saying here. And I would love to talk, to just dive in just a little bit about followers. So what would you say today in 2024 is the best way to grow your following? What do you find is working for you?
Comment, find the people that you want to connect with and connect, say hi, comment on their stuff. They'll come check you out. People like to get comments. They get excited when they see a notification that somebody new that they don't know followed them and actually left a comment on something. That's the best way.
I love it.
Take the time to build those relationships. It pays for itself over and over and over again. And this is why I also don't believe you can outsource your social media.
I gotcha.
You can outsource a lot of stuff, but you need to be the one that goes there and then builds the relationship. Some people can't do that for you, you know? Mm. And particularly on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are all kinds of tactics out there now where you could use AI to auto comment for you. Just no.
I get a lot of spam on LinkedIn and lots of comment, like, you know, somebody will friend me or connect with me and then boom, they're right. As soon as I accept it, they're in my box. Yeah. And I'm like, get out.
And it's automated and it's going to keep going.
Yeah.
The thing is that when you don't participate in that, you get less of it. And the other thing is there are people out there that are really skilled at wrapping all of this into a very enticing, bright, shiny object. And it feels like a great idea. But you really need to stop and say, like, what does this feel like on the other end?
Yeah.
Like, would I want this? Would I want to receive this?
Yeah.
And, you know, when you start to approach it like that, because at the other side of these posts and these comments and these instant messages, if there's not a human being, it doesn't matter.
Right. I agree.
It's just words.
Yeah. So tell us what we need to know about hashtags.
Okay. So know the platforms that it works on. Like, they don't really mean anything on Facebook. They do matter on LinkedIn, Instagram, and TikTok. I don't do much TikTok, but I'm just throwing it in there because I know that they work. But one of the things you have to be really mindful with on Instagram is that hashtags get banned. And there's no big announcement. They just stop working. So, you know, like, don't use the same hashtags over and over again. Mix them up. There's always like the talk back and forth. Do you use the 30 hashtags that you could use, or do you use 10 hashtags? You know, you have to play with it and see what works and what doesn't work. There are tools. There's one called Likes for Hashtags, which does hashtag analysis, which is a pretty good tool. And also within the platforms, you can do some hashtag analysis. Hashtags also really work well on LinkedIn because LinkedIn is not, it's not like it used to be. It's very different. A lot of people moved from TikTok, from Twitter to and Facebook over to LinkedIn. And I've spent like last year having LinkedIn being my primary platform. And I really like it. I've made some great connections. And, you know, it's a lot of testing and seeing what works and what doesn't work. I don't get too deep into the algorithms because I'm really more focused on connecting with people. And I research the people that I want to connect with. And then I say hi.
I love that. That's so great. All right. We're going to move to mission. And I would love for you to share the story of your mission and passion for 50 over 50. I love the story. I've heard it before, but I would love for you to share it with our listeners. So let's start with the mission. Where did this idea come from? How was this inspired?
I was laying in bed on February 17th, 2023, listening to Mika Brzezinski talk about the 30 over 50 event that they were hosting. She was hosting with Forbes in Abu Dhabi. And it was all familiar names. So I'm laying there and I'm thinking, and what about this one? And what about this one? And what about this one? And what about me? And I sat down and made a list. I said, I bet I can make a list of 50 women that I know over the age of 50 that are doing really good work in the world and more people need to know about them. And that took 15 minutes. So then I started to do some keyword research and the majority of the keywords were about hair and makeup and dating and what not to do and, you know, life sucks from now on. And I was like, if I was sitting to talking to any one of these women, we'd be talking about something else. And then I bought the domain, the real 50 over 50 for a dollar. And I was like, well, this just seals the deal. Like, you know, there are not enough conversations, meaningful conversations happening with women over 50. So I reached out to some of the people on my list who were my friends, my clients, my colleagues. And I was like, what if I did a weekly interview? Would you want to be interviewed? And within like a week, I had 40 interviews lined up without even really trying. So there was no plan. It was just like, okay, so now you've got this information. What are you going to do about it? And then the wisdom panels started. We do a month. We do the interviews weekly on Wednesdays at noon Eastern time. And we've already done 55 interviews. And we have interviews booked all the way into January. I think January is actually booked up. Next one will be February. And then in October, the night before the interview, I get a cancellation. And I was so busy that day. I was like, oh my God, what am I even going to do? And I had a meet and mingle event with the 50 over 50 women. So I was just like, okay, somebody will raise their hand and want to do this interview. So three women raised their hands. And I was like, okay, let's do a panel. So now here I am. It's like 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm building a web page and setting up StreamYard and writing content and getting this whole thing set up for the next day. And it was such a hit. Everybody loved it. So we started to do a monthly panel. And we just did our sixth panel on women's leadership. And yeah, they've been amazing. Everybody loves them. So I try to get five women and we pick one topic and we talk about it from different perspectives.
I love that so much. So like you said, it took 15 minutes from the moment you were in bed thinking like, what is up with this? What about all these other millions of women over 50 that are making an impact to just deciding like, I'm just going to do this. So oh my gosh, you guys. So if you've been waiting years and thinking about it forever, Donna's going to show you right here that it doesn't take all that time. You just decide. No,
and it was very, like, I didn't have any structure set up, but like I had the skills to be able to build a web page and to do all the different things. Honestly, if I had to pay somebody to do all the things that I did to set this up, it would have cost quite a bit of money.
Sure.
But I set everything up myself and I've been doing it all myself. I just recently hired a virtual assistant to help me. And one of the things that I'm looking to do now is to partner with other communities that are doing similar things, because there's a lot of us out there and we've got stories. And the stories, I mean, my life has changed from listening to these stories over the last year. And to see, like, you know, where are the paths unique and where are those, you know, the similar things that we're all experiencing. And there are a couple of things that really are a common thread throughout. And one is that every single woman that is part of this had some kind of successful career. And, you know, sometime between, you know, 40s and 60s, they had that moment of, yeah, I don't want to do that anymore, with their job, with their marriage, with where they lived. They just reached a point of, yeah, that's just not going to do it. And it wasn't a negative thing. It was just no more. And they chose what they want to do. And we've got women in this community everywhere from the age of 50 to 85 so far. And doing things from teaching lawyers how to laugh to being a Supreme Court judge.
Amazing. That's so great. Oh my gosh. Okay. This has been amazing. So we're going to keep going with, because we use that story as the mission story, which I think is so beautiful. And I love how that all came together and how you didn't overthink it. You were just like, this is what the world needs now. And I want to inspire, you know, just to encourage people and impress upon them, like, that's as easy as it gets. It's just, what does the world need now that is in alignment with what I'm passionate about, or the impact that I want to make, or the legacy I want to leave, right? And these are how missions and passions are created. And then it's the action. I love what you said. You know, I always feel like we were always prepared for such a time as this. So as you said, like, if I had to do, you know, pay somebody to do all that work, well, you didn't, because that was part of your journey. You had already learned all that on the front end. And that's one of the things I love about hearing all the stories, is not only, like you said, like, I learned so much. People don't understand that being the host is the biggest gift of all, because we get to have these conversations and we are better for every single one of them. But I also want to remind people that nothing we ever do is lost or wasted. Everything that we have ever done has been strategically a part of the bigger picture and the bigger journey. And you already have everything you need to fulfill it, right? And we talked about this on 50 over 50 on that 100th interview that I did with you, is like the story of Dorothy, that you already have everything you need. You just need to tap into it. And I love that about what you said and the way that you created this community and all the things that you're doing even beyond. So let's talk about Be Visible. You have now a mastermind community of this. And so tell us a little bit more about that, and who is it for, and why may they want to be a part of this?
It's for, you know, speakers, authors, small business owners, entrepreneurs. People that, you know, they don't need to 10x anything. They don't need hundreds of clients. They need the right people. And, you know, they probably, on the average, my clients need 20 clients a year, you know? So what are we going to do to really meaningfully get in front of those people? So if you need 20 clients a year, you got to get in front of 1,000 people, right? So, like, let's scale this back to get in front of those 1,000 people in a way that it's just like, of course, you know, that's the response. Of course.
Right. Oh, my gosh. I love it.
And we start with your story, and it's not really a storytelling thing, but it's a reconnection to your story, because we lose things along the way. And when we lose things along the way, we have gaps. When we have those gaps are within us. They're also in our external communications. And this is where we have, you know, people don't really buy what you're saying, you know, because that there's something missing. They feel like there's something missing. So they're not really listening to you because they're trying to figure out what's missing.
Yes.
We fill those gaps. And then we spend time, like, listening and researching the audience and figuring out, you know, who are the people that need me and where are they? And then we go through a content audit, which I don't call a content audit anymore because nobody wants to do a content audit. I call it tried and new.
You're right. I wouldn't want to do a content audit. It sounds like it.
Think about all the stuff that you have created over the years. You know, we don't have to create more. We just need to kind of spend an afternoon in Dropbox or Google Drive.
That's right. Cleaning up our computer files, right? So we can find the dang things.
Exactly. But put those pieces together. And, you know, it's almost like there's a TV show and a book called The Fine Art of the Swedish Death Cleanse. And this is what I do. Right? Because what they do in that show, I'd never read the book, but I watched the show, is they go through people's stuff while they're still alive instead of waiting till they die, right? And then it's like, what stays, what goes, what could be turned into something else, what could be sold, and what needs to just be thrown away, right?
Yeah.
And that's what they, and that's what you do with your content. And like, when you start to see it in these buckets, it all takes on new life. So now what you're doing is you're purging what you don't need anymore. So you're not getting stuck in the past. You're just kind of reviewing it. Then you're left with the stuff that still works. And this now becomes the vehicle, a whole vehicle, to take you where you're going in the future without those gaps, without things that you're missing. And then we move into content creation, PR, because again, you don't want to go for PR when you've got these gaps because nobody's going to buy what you're selling, particularly a journalist, right?
Sure.
I mean, as a podcast host, how discerning have you become?
Yeah, very much so. I never thought I would ever be so much so. Yeah. But I say no more than I say yes.
Exactly. But when somebody comes to you and they're the full package, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So
we help them become that full package. And then I roll in AI tools, but using them in a very different way. I don't use them for writing. And most of the people that I work with are writers. So like the first thing they do is try to use it for writing. It doesn't have their voice. It's never going to have their voice. But we use it to help build the foundation, to be the structural part, to tap into information that you might not know or that you know would take you 5 days to figure out. So that's how we use it. And I teach people how to conversationally build a relationship with the tools.
I love that. That's amazing. All right. You have a free offer for our audience to gather their story. So tell us a little bit about that.
It's kind of like that first dip your toe in the water of going into your Dropbox and your calendar and your Google Drive. And, you know, like what are the parts that were edited out of your book and that opt-in that you have built 3 years ago, all of those little things, and how you can start to gather them together, look at them through a different lens, and start to see the value, and not only of the actual content, but like of your growth along the way, because each one of those things is a milestone of like, you know, where you started in your journey, and how can you piece together the content with your story, so it all makes sense, and you know. What happens when people start to do this is they realize it's all so much easier than they thought because they already have what they need, like, you know, tangibly and intangibly.
Yes. Both, right? Yeah. Oh, isn't that something? I love that. I love that. Okay. Well, tell our listeners where they can find you and these great things.
Just go to my website, cravatamediagroup.com. You can download the Gather Your Story book from any page on the top of my website. And there's more information about BeVisible.club, The Real 50 Over 50. You can catch all of the replays there and, you know, register for upcoming events. They're all live every Wednesday at noon Eastern time. And we typically do the panels on the third Thursday of the month, but, you know, it depends on people's availability.
I love it. Awesome. And guys, all the links to everything that Donna has and does will be in the show notes here. So just click the link as you're listening and you'll be able to find your way to all the amazing things so you can be a part of them too. So Donna, thank you so much for being with us. Such great information about marketing and mission and all of the things. I mean, oh my gosh, you've done so much for so many to make a great impact in the world and help people become more visible. And I just love that about you. And again, thank you for allowing me to be a part of your mission of 50 over 50 and to be your 100th episode was such a joy. In fact, I'm gonna actually publish that again. So excited. I have big plans for that, that will give us both more visibility, but mostly to draw people to become a part of it and allow them to have that gift that you're offering as well. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being invincible. I will say too, I didn't know if I was going to say this or not, but we are both invincible today because we went through a 4.7 magnitude earthquake. in the middle of this interview. And here we are still talking about it. So, oh my gosh.
And we're in two different places. You're in Pennsylvania and I'm in New York.
And we both felt it, guys. And both our homes were shaking, the computer and the lights and everything. The floor was rumbling in the streets. And we just endured all of that and stuck here with you guys. So if wherever you are in the world, if you felt that, we hope you're safe and you are invincible too. So Listen, what a joy.
You have moved from fighting cancer to discovering how to live beyond it. But what now? With so many emotional side effects still unknown, as a new survivor, you find yourself in a void as you navigate through the isolation, fear, and an uncertain future that can overshadow you and your family for years to come. Instead of focusing on the uncertainty of cancer, consider how strong and determined you are, and think of the strength demonstrated by those who stood beside you through it all. Consider this. You now get to choose who you want to be, and what your intentional, fulfilled life can look like. You made it through treatment. We can help you define yourself as a survivor. We're here to help you through this moment, to walk beside you as you shift your mindset from counting the days of life to creating a legacy. For more information, visit www.adventuretherapyfoundation.org or contact us at info@adventurefound.org.
You know, on She's Invincible, we promise our listeners that we're going to bring them fierce entrepreneurs and we're going to share all of the things that are going to make them better at what they do and help them to be better in their success journey. And I think you've done that so well today, but we're not done because we also promise them that while we're spotlighting these fierce entrepreneurs, that we want to pull back the curtain and have a little authenticity when it comes to the journey. See, we talk about the knowledge and we talk about the success, but what happens is as women, and you know this as you work with many women, they're always comparing themselves and they're always coming up short and they're saying crazy things like, oh, she's so lucky. They have no idea how hard you worked and what you've had to overcome to have the success. Was it luck? No, it was hard work and you never gave up. And so are you ready to tell some fun stories about that or not so fun? So we're going to jump into this because I have yet to figure out how to get women to stop comparing themselves. And what I decided was on She's Invincible, we're going to give them something real to compare. And so at the end of this, they're going to say, oh, that Donna, right? She's got great success, right? But are you willing to pay the price that that great Donna paid for the success that she's enjoying today? And that's where we are. So if we can't beat them, we're going to join them and we're going to give them something real. Let's go. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Awesome. Let's tell these great people a story about the good or the greatest part of your journey so far.
Freedom.
One of my favorite words.
It's just freedom. I mean, like if something's not working, I have the freedom to change it. If I don't get along with a client, I have the freedom to fire that client. If, you know, I used a tool for 5 years and I no longer like it, I have, you know, I can change that tool. You know, I had a program that I started in 2010 that I loved it. When I stopped loving it, I shut down that program. You can't do that, Nigel.
I I love that. And you know what keeps ringing in my ears is what your son said. You woke up broke and went to bed with $30,000, right? On the same day. Yes. And you, that's freedom. That's financial freedom right there.
Yeah. And people feel that their jobs are secure. My job was as secure as it could be. I worked in a law firm that was created in like 1860. It's been around forever. I had a job that was created for me. Nobody does that in law firms. I mean, they were throwing money at me. And even after I quit, I stayed on as a consultant for 6 months. And I would take calls in my car because I didn't want them in my house.
Mm.
And I quit. I mean, ultimately, I quit the job because I was going to try doing both at the same time to see if the business took off. And 2 weeks in, I found myself having dinner at the ice cream shop at 9 o'clock at night. And I said to the guy behind the counter, I said, I'm going to quit my job tomorrow. And he looked at me, he was like, I don't care.
Oh, that's epic.
I realized that the job would never allow me to have the business. And I had to take a leap of faith in myself.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that, because that just what you're doing in the world is amazing. And you wouldn't have done that.
And it was terrifying. My family stopped speaking to me because they figured I'd have no money, and I'd ask them for money. And everybody thought I was out of my mind because I was making like close to $200,000 a year, and I had all the benefits. And like, I mean, it was a really, really good job, like one of those golden handcuff jobs. And I just walked away.
Mm, good for you. All right. Tell us a story about the bad. We're going to save the ugly for last. Tell us a story about the bad part of the journey.
So much of it is good. And you know, there is, of course, bad. A lot of the bad I view as lessons, not so much as bad things that happen. But, you know, like there was the day that I built all of this work around a specific tool that used to work with social media platforms where you can get like intelligence from the back end and then build strategies around it. And I had just built this out for like 5 different clients, and it was really unique and special, and it worked like magic. And overnight, the tool was locked out of all of the social media platforms. And now I have to explain to these clients that just paid me quite a bit of money to do this, that it was no longer going to work. It was out of my hands. There was nothing I could do. So I had to kind of scramble and find another way to do it. And there's another example of being invincible. It's like, you know, you're building, I mean, we have virtual businesses, so we're building on other people's real estate in many cases, and we don't have control over any of it.
Wow.
Building on a cloud, literally.
Yeah. And you know what? It's interesting that you're saying that, because you had credibility with your clients. Otherwise, that would have been a horrifying thing. I mean, I'm sure it was really bad, but because you had credibility with them, right? And because of the way you worked with them and for them, you were able to pivot, and they trusted you in that process.
I was also honest with them. I told them what happened. I said, I need a little time. I'll figure something out. But this doesn't work anymore.
This thing you just paid me for. Oh my goodness. Ah, that's bad. Okay, yeah. Friend, tell us about ugly. Tell us a story about the ugly part of this journey.
Okay, so I'll use the 50 over 50 as an example again. It started out as just an idea. And, you know, totally driven by passion and my heart. Like, you know, what I have been saying as I've been building all of this over the last year, because I've been building Be Visible and the 50 over 50 community together. It's it like the Be Visible is my 40 years of knowledge and experience, and 50 over 50 is my heart. It's all my heart. But it was hard because I'm doing this alone. I'm tapping into things I don't want to do anymore. Like a lot of, like, I don't want to build websites. I don't do this, But how do you get help when you don't even know what it is? So it was all, you know, there was nobody else but me to build this at this stage, because like I sat down and I thought about it, like, okay, if I hire somebody, what am I going to tell them? I don't even know what to tell them, what to do. And then I started to think, okay, so if I get help on this and this and this, but they drop the ball and they screw it up, I've got the bandwidth to do this all myself. Don't have the bandwidth to fix it if they break it. So that was that was all kind of ugly that was going on in the backside of all of this. And I just decided I was going to put on blinders and build what I have to build. And when the time was right, it would be in, it would be set up to a point where I would be able to hire somebody again.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, there you have it, guys. The good, the bad, and the ugly of that journey. Amazing. And here you are making such a huge impact and a difference in the world for so many people. Thank you, Donna. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing. And thank you for being invincible.
Thank you. Thank you for hosting this and always, always, always for being my 100th member.
Oh, I'll never forget. This is so much fun. So, so much fun. Thank you. And to our listeners, I don't know where you are in your life or your business, but if you're face down on the ground right now, get back up. I know it's hard. I know it feels like you can't do it. We've all felt that way, but I'm here to tell you, you can. And all you need to do is get back up. You can do anything. You are invincible. Thank you for joining us today. If you were inspired or learned something new, please follow the show, submit a rating and review, and share us with your friends. If you would like to chat to see if you can attract your ideal client and monetize your business through podcasting, please book a free call with me at CammieLehman.com. I can't wait to meet you.